In this inspirational and highly informative live lecture presented to a group of chiropractic professionals, Dr. Wayne Dyer offers his penetrating wit and wisdom on how to develop your own healing powers, as well as that of others. Dr. Dyer emphasizes that the secrets to healing are not somewhere out there, but rather, healing is something that takes place inside each and every one of us, occurring when we connect to our source and bring spirit to the disease. He emphasizes that healers need to be able to banish doubt and see their clients as individuals who already possess the capacity to heal themselves. That is, those with health challenges need to have someone in their energy field who truly believes that healing can take place. Dr. Dyer explains how to operate at the higher level where doubt and ego consciousness don't exist, and he also relates fascinating and entertaining stories based on his own personal life, interactions with kahunas, yogis, and other powerful individuals, and the world of spirituality and alternative healing. And now, Hay House is proud to present Dr. Wayne Dyer in Secrets of Your Own Healing Power.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was upstairs this morning reading USA Today. I don't know if any of you saw the Tuesday edition of USA Today, where the lady whose daughter has been in a coma for 30 years. Did any of you see that? How she has cared for her in an unconditional, loving way, is a story that I wrote a book about 4 or 5 years ago called A Promise is a Promise. 30 years ago, this woman, Kay O'Bara, was speaking to her daughter in the hospital as she was slipping into a diabetic coma. And she said to her daughter, looked at her and said, "You won't leave me, will you, Mommy?" And her mother said, "I would never leave you, I promise. And a promise is a promise." And 30 years later, she has been caring for her daughter, who is not on life support. Every 2 hours, she has to be fed. And every 4 hours, she has to have an injection of insulin. She's never slept in a bed. She's never bought herself any clothes or even been to a movie. And when I saw that story 5 years ago, I decided that I would make contact with her and write her story. And when I appeared with her on Oprah Winfrey a couple of years ago, Oprah said to her, "Why do you do this?" Because it's been going on for 30 years now. She said, "I do it because God asked me to do it. And God never asks you to do any more than you can handle." And the show was about people who had been in comas for a long period of time. And all of them had been on the show and were complaining and talking about how difficult it was and what a struggle it was and what a burden it was to have someone that you had to care for who was in such a state. And when Oprah asked her, she said, "It's not a burden, it's my honor to serve my daughter and to serve God in this way." And in a deep meditation a couple of years later, I wrote I asked what I could do to help them to get out of the debt that they had amassed. And I wrote a book in 2 weeks telling her story called A Promise is a Promise. And now I think Oprah is going to do a full hour with her and tell a story of unconditional love unmatched in any that I've ever known. When my wife and I walked into that room for the very first time, it was as if we had entered into a sanctuary, a place where unconditional love had been being practiced. And I'll bring it around here as I speak to you this afternoon on the importance of this notion of unconditional love as one of the pathways that we have to go through on our way to mastery. And I was proud to write this book and have all of the profits and royalties and proceeds and everything go directly to them. and we're slowly helping to get her out of debt. But the most astonishing thing of all, and the part that they left out of the newspaper story, which I thought was interesting, was that she talks to and sees the Blessed Mother. And whether you believe it or not is not of any concern or relevance to her whatsoever. She feels the Blessed Mother is there with her. And there are people who have been in her presence who have been healed of tumors and things like this. And one of her kindergarten, she was a school teacher before her daughter went into the coma. And she had a kindergarten student. Her name was Joy. And Joy found out about what had happened many, many, many years later. She is now a mother of three children now. And two of them have cystic fibrosis and have been being treated for cystic fibrosis for 4 years. And one day, Kay told Joy, who has dedicated her life to helping Kay out. She's there almost every single day, helping her with the feeding and helping her with the grocery shopping and all of these kinds of things. One day, Kay came to Joy, and she said to her, she said, your children no longer have cystic fibrosis. And Joy said, what do you mean? She said, I talked to the Blessed Mother last night, and she said that they have now been healed and that they no longer have this disease. Well, Joy was crying and sobbing and all that, and went, of course, back to her medical doctors. And her doctors confirmed that they no longer could find any indication of cystic fibrosis. So in the original story that was written, the doctors said that she had been misdiagnosed. I called the doctors and asked them if they had been misbilled. Because for 4 years they were treated for having cystic fibrosis, and now they're completely free of it. And that miracle and others were not told in this story, which is of interest to me. But anyway, in today's USA Today, there's a story of a man who's opening tonight here in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel showroom. His name's Jerry Lewis. You've probably heard of him. And he's now 73 years old, and he's going to perform a 2.5-hour break free with a 30-piece orchestra beginning tonight and 4 times a year. Now, this is a man who tried to commit suicide about 6 years ago and talked about it. He had a gun in his mouth, and he came within a second of pulling that trigger and killing himself. As he says in here, 11 specialists looked at him. He had been suffering from meningitis when he was on his Australian tour, and he had been medicated for everything from balance and hearing and hypertension, blood pressure, getting dizzy, and so on. And today he's completely free of all of that. He says to keep in shape, he works out on a treadmill in the morning and a bike at night. I nap 20 minutes during the day when I can, and it does wonders. He's also producing a remake of The Bellboy. And every day he says, I get up and I feel like a winner. And you know what the 11 specialists who looked at him all said? He's been over-medicated. He's now medication-free. Medication-free. And he's also free of hypertension, imbalance, and all of the things that have been driving this man for the last 10 or 15 years into a state of literal insanity, as he's talked about it. It's a way I wanted to open today, because I think your profession, of course, understands and knows the value of treating people in a way in which we understand that the healing is something that takes place inside each and every one of us, and that there's a stream of healing that is available to all of us. And I have been working for the last, 4 or 5 months on the beginning of a new book. And I'm calling it, There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. And while I have time here to speak to you, and I'm honored to do so, this is the fourth or fifth time, And I'm not here to tell you how to be better chiropractors. I'm not here to tell you how to be better healers even. As a young man, I was very dramatically impacted by a teacher some of you have heard of, some of you studied. I was blessed to know he passed away. And I felt that when he passed away, he was passing a baton on and handing it to me, saying, I've sort of explained this to the academic world, this concept of self-actualization and enlightenment and higher consciousness and higher awareness. Now you take it and run with it and explain it to the cab drivers and the pizza delivery people and the accountants and the chiropractors and everybody that's out there that we call common folks. His name was Abraham Maslow. And Maslow was very influential in my life. He was the first person that I ever read that I felt touched and talked to my soul. He emphasized the importance of always looking at what is possible for a human being on the basis of the greatest who've ever walked among us, rather than on making assumptions about people and their capacity to heal themselves or their capacity to grow or their capacity to be great geniuses as being based upon what is wrong with people. He quoted Kierkegaard often, who said that once you label me, you negate me. Once you put any kind of a label on me, whatever you call it, whether it's as a hypertension, as Jerry Lewis was called, hypertensive, whether it's as a slow learner, whether it's as non-musical, or any kind of a label that you can come up with, when you place a label on a human being, you negate them and you begin to treat the label. You begin to treat the thing that you've identified them with. And Maslow said that rather than studying all of the things that are wrong with people and all the things that we can't do, let's instead focus on the greatest who've ever walked among us, these powerful people who've lived self-actualized lives, and let's make assumptions about what is possible for all of humanity, that if any one of us can do it, all of us can do it. And that's right out of the scriptures. As Jesus said, even the least among you can do all that I have done, and even greater things. It's in every one of us, this power to see ourselves as saints, this power to see ourselves as capable of accomplishing virtually anything that we put our attention on, this capacity to manifest, this capacity to be able to use our mind to create anything at all, whether it's abundance or a divine relationship or a healing or anything in between. And that there are certain qualities or characteristics that people who share this idea of self-actualization have that I will be talking about a little bit later on this afternoon. And as you look at some of these qualities, you will see that these were people that do not fit in. I'm so thrilled to have written Wisdom of the Ages because it's the book I've always wanted to write. I always wanted to take a look at people who I have admired so much, not one of them died with their music still in them. Not one of them. Every one of them lived lives of incredible passion, and they were all troublemakers in their lifetime. It's funny how we, as a society, have a tendency to honor our living conformists and our dead troublemakers, isn't it? It's almost as if you have to be wiped out before we can revere you. And the qualities and characteristics of these people, I don't want to get into now because I want to move in a little different direction. But I want to share with you how powerful this idea of looking at a patient or looking at yourself or looking at your child as a parent and seeing the potential for magnificence and sainthood that is there, and seeing the capacity for healing if you're a chiropractor or if you are in the healing professions, seeing anybody that walks into your office as already possessing the capacity to be able to heal themselves, but they need to have in their energy field someone who will not contaminate it further with their idea that they are diseased or that there is something wrong with them.